When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Here we go, Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us here on the grid. Hour number two for us, of course. Mike Carver with you. Sans Joe. Joe out on assignment, which means we have Gentleman George Kurtz with us. Blue line as the Islanders and the Oilers get ready to face off here. Tonight, we have several other things to do. We got lots of NFL to get to. I did want to just say that now that the whole ranking's out, they have Oregon 1, Ohio State 2, Texas 3, Penn State 4, Indiana 5. Four of the top five teams in this crack, crab, and lobster college football playoff committee ranking are from the Big Ten. So that means only one of them, though, is going to be in those top four because of the byes. So that means that Ohio State slips to the 5 and they play Boise. Penn State slips at a 6, they'd play Ole Miss. Indiana slips at a 7, they'd play Alabama. So Big Ten getting the boost over the SEC, which has eaten itself up a little bit more than the Big Ten has this year. Notre Dame at 8. Tennessee is in there as well at 7, as I said. Miami, Alabama, Ole Miss, Boise State. Last two teams out, Georgia and SMU. This week's college football playoff rankings, which of course they look a lot different from last week when they put the first ones out, and these will look a lot different 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, when they have the final ones, when we get to the actual games being played. So we will keep our eyes on that. All right, George, let's get to it. Cowboy football, which has taken another turn this week. They got completely smashed by the Eagles again at home. I think that's like their fifth straight home loss of 25 plus points or something like that. Like they've lost, like, I mean, you know better than me. It's unfortunate, but they've just, every home game this year and the Packer game in the playoffs last year, they've been beat up at their home arena, I should say. And then you put into this, George, the Dak thing. So hamstring finished, done for the year. Cooper Rush plays. He was awful. It tells you how bad Lance is that it was like, you know, it was almost like the crowd had to bait McCarthy into playing him, George. Like, it's like he didn't want to play Lance, but like people were getting so upset watching Cooper Rush that he had no choice and he had to put him in. And then he was taking him in and out for a little while. That was a disaster. And then the cherry on top. Actually, I don't know, George. I actually probably have 5 more layers I can get to. You have Parsons basically saying what he said about McCarthy after the game. You have the nonsense with the sun and the curtains and CeeDee Lamb and Jerry getting extremely offended about people even questioning the sun. You notice that nobody wants to talk about it now. McCarthy brought it up to McCarthy to start the Monday press conference. He made like some small joke. He's like, because they had covered him up at his press conference. He goes, "Is that a curtain?" Because he didn't want to talk about it. It's getting bad. It's already bad, George, but like, you know, you got 2 months to go here. This Cowboy season has really derailed in some way.
I mean, it's been derailed for months, right? This is not just something that just happened this week or even this season here. The stat you were looking for, by the way, was five times under McCarthy, they've lost by 25 points or more at home. They only lost by 3 points to Baltimore earlier this year, even though Baltimore hammered them, Dallas made the late comeback.
That's right. I forgot
five times
about
under McCarthy, they've gotten shelled.
They were getting smashed in that game, but they came back and made it close in the fourth quarter. They got killed by the Eagles. They got killed by the Lions. They got killed by the Saints. And I don't know if I'm missing one or not besides that for this year. But then they have the Packer game in the playoffs last. Because they have a lot of home games left too, George. That's the other thing that makes this tough for Jerry.
Yay.
You got a lost year, and you got including, what, two Monday night games? This Monday night against the Texans. And don't they have a Monday night game with Cincinnati at home as well in early December? Thanksgiving
well,
Day?
Let me tell you about that Cincinnati game. Listen, Thanksgiving, they're playing the Giants, so I guess there's a chance I won't throw up, right? There's a chance I can enjoy my turkey. Although at that point, I may be rooting for the Cowboys to lose. Maybe get a shot at Hunter or whatever else is going to come across the board there. Alshon Jeffery could be another guy. But anyway, that Monday night game against Cincinnati, by the way, that's if you haven't heard, the Simpsons are going to do like an alternate broadcast on Nickelodeon. I might watch the alternate broadcast because at least maybe I can laugh a little bit. I like the Simpsons. All right, so well, other than that, but you know, for the Cowboys, you think about it. You said it; they got annihilated by Green Bay in the playoffs last year, and then shortly after that, Jerry tells you, oh, "We're going all in." All in meant letting all your players go, right? Letting everybody go. They re-signed the long snapper, and then signed Eric Kendricks and Zeke Elliott. That's all you signed. All right, so then you go into training camp. And Dak is still, he's playing on the one-year deal. You hadn't got him signed yet. CeeDee Lamb's holding out. Finally, you give in to them, and I mean give in to them because you gave them every last dime. So what was the point of having them hold out? Why was the point of having CeeDee Lamb hold out if you're going to give them every last dime anyway? Made very little sense. To let you know how bad Dallas is at GM, where Jerry Jones is at GM here, remember Deron Bland, the guy who returned 18 touchdowns for interceptions for touchdowns last year? He broke his toe. So we started the season on IR. All right, that's normal. Dallas took him off IR. They said he's able to come off IR. You get 3-week practice window. That started. It's been 5 weeks now. They've had to scratch him the last 2 weeks because he's not ready to come back. Why did you take him off IR? All right, Micah Parsons. He missed 6 weeks. Dallas never placed him on IR. Why? Are you the ultimate? Oh, I hope things work out well. I hope things this can happen. That's what the Cowboys are. They're all hope. Right? And they're not brains at all here. McCarthy is not a very good coach. We knew that going in. Jerry, by the way, I'm the first person to tell you, Mike, if they fire McCarthy, and I'm sure they will, they're just going to hire the next puppet. It doesn't matter. They're not going to hire anybody real.
Well, first of all, as I believe was discussed in the Micah Parsons post-game press conference situation, McCarthy doesn't have a contract beyond this year, right, George? I believe he's a free agent. He is not signed beyond this season. So, and I think that that's also part of the way to make it a little cleaner for Jerry. I don't think Jerry wants to fire him. Jerry's also said he doesn't like firing coaches in the middle of the season.
He's only done it once.
He's only done it once. It's got to get real bad for that to happen. But I think it's easier for him to just not renew the contract at the end of the year than to fire him while he still has time left on the contract. Is it really his fault this year, though, George? Like, I know that people don't like Mike McCarthy. He wins a lot of games.
Is it McCarthy's fault? No, it's Jerry's fault, but McCarthy's not going to dig you out of it. He's not going to dig you out of anything. But like I said, it's not going to matter because they're not going to hire a real coach anyway. It's the Yankees with Boone. Even if Cashman fired Boone, he would just hire the next guy who's going to listen, do everything he says and does everything he wants. They're not going to hire real people. Jerry wants to run this team. It is the way it is here. If you're a Cowboy fan, you got to live with it. Every now and then they'll have good years. But for the most part, you know what? Jerry's going to do what he wants to do here, what he believes. He believes he's doing I'm the best GM this team could ever have. Sure, Jerry, it's been 30 years since you made a championship game, but yeah, you're the best. You know, absolutely. The problem is not you.
He's 45-31 as the Cowboy coach, including this year. So 3-6 this year. So he was 42-25 coming into this year. You know, this is like with Sirianni with Philly. Like, I could find teams in worse situations in terms of head coaches. I can find them.
Oh, sure.
But I think the real problem is, and you said it, problem is the old man still thinking that he's
not
a general
gonna change
manager.
While he's coach.
And he's
not going to change while he's head coach. Well, while he's the owner, it's not going to change.
Yeah, it's not going to change. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159, Georgia. Joe, back in.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Joe out and George Kurtz in, as usual, this time of the week. We did all that, George, and you didn't even get to the dopey curtain with CeeDee Lamb not being able to see the ball in the sun. And it really it really does blow your mind. Like, what's the deal with the curtain, George? Like, and Jerry was very defensive about it.
No, I went. Was Tampa Stadium down? What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
He don't like anything bad being said about his baby. That place is his baby. You don't want to hear it. You don't want
to
hear it.
He tried to defend. Did you hear what he said today? He actually tried to defend it, that it gives us the advantage. It gives us home field advantage. How?
No, it doesn't.
How?
No,
I mean, at the very least, it's because you know, because we know son's there. Well, apparently you don't. You know, maybe Kellen Moore did, because Kellen Moore spoke up that, yeah, we were aware of it when I was the OC there. Maybe he was aware of it. Mike McCarthy's not, and he can't call plays like that. But, that, you know, it's just idiotic. Put curtains there. The WWE had a big thing there, and they put curtains.
They
have showed
curtains
it today.
There.
They put curtains.
The curtains
right,
are there.
They have curtains. Put
curtains
the damn
are there.
Things.
Close them.
By the way, don't we have some kind of chemical you can put on the window anyway to stop the glare? I mean, this is 2024. I got to believe we have something besides curtains.
We gotta,
if you didn't like that look.
We got to make it like a feel like we're outside, is what he said. The stadium is designed to feel like you're outside, even though you're not. That was the whole thing, George.
He doesn't care about winning. Jerry Jones, he's the greatest salesman ever. He does not care about winning. He cares about making money. And you just said it. This is his baby. He doesn't want to make his baby look a little bit off. You know, so it's just another reason to be infuriated.
Now, let me ask you this. For the future of this team, and look, Jerry, as you said, he is going to continue to be the general manager of this team until he passes away. Like, unless he gets, you know, something where he gets real sick or something. When Steven takes over, which that day will come, George. One day, you know, whenever that is, the day will come when Steven is next in line. He's going to actually hire a football guy, right? Or is he going to be like his dad and pretend to be the GM? Is he going to be the GM? Because he kind of talks like Jerry has groomed him to that. He will do what Jerry does when Jerry is not the owner, you know, around to do it anymore. Is that Steven's going to be general manager in a team and take over for Jerry? Everything that Jerry does, Steven's going to take over when that time comes.
Steven is not as egotistical as Jerry, so there's a chance he would realize that this is not the right way to do it. A chance. If you wanted me to give you numbers here, I think Steven's going to do it the same way. He might hire somebody to be under him, to give him advice, like a bench manager in baseball. But you already said it. Jerry has sort of groomed him that this is the way it has to be done. I guess Steven's not a nutcase. You know, and by the way, I think he'd be better at it than Jerry anyway, for whatever that's worth. But I think he's going to do it the same way. But like I said, he might have a bench manager to help him out here. It's the best I can give you. I would hope he'd hire somebody that they'd learn their lesson here. But, you know, and by the way, if only the Cowboys would have known they were going to implode. Because if you knew you were going to implode, you never signed Dak, right? Why do you sign Dak to that contract? Because you're not going to be good next year. All right. You may not implode like you did this year, but you're not going to be good next year. It might be 2 years down the line before you can start rebuilding this. And you're still going to give Micah a hell of a contract, too. So you're going to have three guys that are going to, you know, Lamb, Micah, and Dak that have an enormous amount of the cap here. Maybe you do have to trade Micah and treat Micah Parsons like Herschel Walker and get as many number one picks as you can.
I would trade him either way, to be quite honest with you, George. I would trade him either way. I think he's a very good player. I think he's a severely overrated player. And he's also now also becoming not worth
distraction
off the field. He's just not he's not worth it. Like, he's just not, like, I don't know. I just don't see it, George. I don't see him showing up in the biggest spots when they need it.
That's true. That's true.
And just, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me how everyone basically has him as the next LT when there is nowhere near close to being that. They play Houston on Monday night.
Loss.
7.5. The Texans are favored in Dallas. Did you see enough of Cooper Rush already? You're ready to just give Trey Lance the full ride here the rest of the year and see what you have?
You might as well, but we saw plenty of Trey Lance in preseason. Listen, Shanahan couldn't fix him. McCarthy wasn't going to. Right, he's done. He just couldn't do it in the NFL. For whatever reason, he couldn't do it at the NFL level here. Would I rather see him than Cooper? Sure. I just don't think it matters, Mike. I don't think it matters who you put there. You still have no running game. Your defense is in shambles. They have 11 guys on the IR. They are a banged-up team.
Well,
all right, it is what it is here.
Lance can give you a running game himself. He could be the running game.
He could be your running game.
Which I think that reason alone, because as you said, they have no running game, at least if he's in there, there's potentially somewhat of a running game. Potentially. Depending on if they... Now, I'm sure they're not stubborn enough. You know, they're probably too stubborn to modify the playbook a little bit and throw in a little bit more quarterback design.
They've already said Rush is going to start. Of course they did. We'll deal with Cooper Rush. He'll throw two more. Cooper Rush could be a decent quarterback, but he doesn't have the arm strength, and the Cowboy receivers don't separate well. So he's going to get balls knocked down. If he's off a little bit, they're going to get picked off.
Unbelievable. It really is. Unbelievable. All right. We have a lot of games this week that we are going to go through. Me and George will rip through some of them. When we come back, including those three big ones. And the Thursday night game is huge this week as the two teams that are at the top of the NFC East, Philadelphia and Washington, will get together for the first time this year. Big spot for Washington as they're coming off that loss to the Steelers. And, you know, it's been a feel-good story for them, George, but, you know, it's weird. If you lose this game on Thursday night, and suddenly you went from 7-2 to then 4 days later, you're 7-4 and you're like two games out of first to the NFC East and the NFC is very competitive this year. Suddenly the season looks a lot different for Washington coming down the stretch, whether they win or lose this game coming up here on Thursday. We'll talk about it when we come back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, George in for Joe. We're back on the grid right after.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Carver Sands, Lisi, Joe out, George Kurtz in. Quickly, just to keep you updated on a few things. Number one, the Hawks beat the Celtics 117-116. They were 15.5, 16.5 point dogs in this game, pregame, and they stormed back. They were down big at the half. They outscored them by 5, 6, 7, 8, by 12 in the second half to come all the way back and get it done. 117-116. That was with no Trae Young either, so nice win for the Hawks. You also had the Magic blew out the Hornets. They're going to overtime in Detroit. Heat and the Pistons tied at 111. Knicks Sixers very close as they go to the fourth quarter there, 78-75. Bucks up three on the Raptors as they start the second half. So some close games here in this NBA Cup this evening. The Islanders and the Oilers, if you had the goal in the first 10 to the no, you're a winner. Scoreless as they hit about the 9.5-minute mark. In the first, the Jets now lead the Rangers 4-3, George. Not good for the under. 4-3 Winnipeg.
5-3.
Not good. 5-3. Not good for the under.
They scored, yeah.
Very bad for the under.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it. Yeah, that'd be pretty awful for the under. Hey, at least they destroyed it. If I'm going to lose, destroy it.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose by the where it's in the middle here. But no, they wrecked it here. So they lost a loss.
You hate losing with the empty net. That's when you hate losing.
Yes,
you hate losing. And if it, you know, the game's 3-2, it's a 5.5. You know, you got the under, and you're just trying to hold on. and they get that empty net for 4-2. That's just the worst. It's the absolute worst. Or when the or even worse, George, when the team gets the empty netter and they're up 2 to kill the to kill it under or something. That is the worst as well. You know, you got yourself.
They pull the goalie so early now, too. It's always
4-2 game and it's 6.5. 4-2 game and the total 6.5. Pulling the goalie down 2 with a minute left, and they end up making it 5-2, and it just breaks your heart. Devils lead the Panthers 2-1, end of 2 in Sunrise, and the Blues lead the Bruins 1-0. George, what do you think of this Washington-Philly game here on Thursday night? Eagles minus 3.5, 48.5 total. You know, Washington got off to a hot start. And look, it's not like they've cooled off. They've lost one game, but they're 7-3. One thing I think you do take notice of is ever since that rib injury, Daniels, they've been getting by, but I don't think he's been the same, and the offense has been the same. He's not as dynamic, but they've still managed. I mean, they were a couple plays away from beating the Steelers anyway on Sunday. What do you think about them playing their first big division game of the year? Because beating the Giants twice, it doesn't matter. This is where it matters. You got the Eagles here, big Thursday night game in Philadelphia. Do you think the kid shows up and plays well?
I think it's where I'm going to say the beginning of the end as far as Washington winning the division is, right? Or if it, maybe it's already happened here. I think Philadelphia kicks butt here. I do. Washington's still a banged-up team. Lattimore, you know, it's why, you know, I don't like when you acquire players who are hurt. He's not practicing yet. He's still not going to play, or more than likely not going to play Thursday. Brian Robertson's banged up as well. The running back here, you mentioned Daniels is banged up, but he's playing here. Philadelphia's getting healthier, right? They're getting healthier. It's at home Thursday night here. Washington, yeah, okay. You lose Pittsburgh, no big deal. Remember, Mike, they should have lost to Chicago too. All right, that Hail Mary thing with the defenders out and yelling at the fans here. And by the way, you want to talk about a play that defined the season? The Bears lose that game. That defender got suspended, right? Or benched, or whatever the hell you want to call it. They have to fire the offensive coordinator. They haven't won a game since. The Bears are in a free fall since that Hail Mary.
Let's get into that a little bit, George, when we come back. Because they did fire Waldron on Tuesday morning. And there was actually some other information that I thought was very interesting that came out, too. And that we should absolutely get into a little bit. I think the Eagles are playing their best football of the year. I mean, you just look at what they've done the past. And I know they didn't cover the game with Jacksonville, and they were killing them, and they let them get back in the game. And yes, they've been spotty with things like that at times. But I think they're the best team in that division. And I think that after they win on Thursday night, they're going to be able to, I'm not going to say cruise to the division title, but they're going to put themselves in some very good position going forward. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Great to have you with us here. Oh, the grid. Carver, Sands, Lisi, Joe out. George Kurtz in with us here, of course, as always this time of the week. You brought up the Bears thing, George, and let's spend a couple of minutes on that here. Their season has completely gone in the tank. And yes, you could focus it on that moment, which was losing that Hail Mary game to Washington, which I guess is really where you'd have to go to, because when they beat the Jags, they beat the Jaguars in London on October the 13th, heading into their bye week. They were 4-2 after winning that game. Things look great. That was when the whole division was over 500, right? NFC North. Yeah, everybody's playing well. Everybody's doing it. They come off the bye. They lose the Hail Mary game, which is, you're right, if they win that game, they would have been 5-2. Going into these games with Arizona and New England. Instead, they lose the Hail Mary game. They go out to Arizona and get absolutely demolished by the Cardinals. And then roll that in to getting embarrassed at home by the Patriots, who are one of the worst teams in football this year. 19-3 at home. Eberflus, these press conferences have become comedy at this point. Listening to him really just fumble through and not say much, just like a lot of word salad and trying to figure out what to say. Then he fires this Waldron, the offensive coordinator, on Tuesday morning. So we're running out of people to blame is what that comes down to. And then there was even a report from ESPN in Chicago that a couple of the veteran players who met with Poles and Eberflus about firing Waldron also said that they should sit down Caleb Williams and start Tyson Badgett. Undrafted, no name, who did start a few games last year when Fields was hurt, over the number one overall in the pick in the draft this year, Caleb Williams. Man, George, you talk about, you might be right, one play completely flipping your entire season over. It was that Hail Mary play for the Bears in Washington. Unbelievable.
It's not just that they're losing, it's how they're losing. Mike, last three games, they've scored 27 total points. All right, you watch these games, and listen, I'm not watching a lot of Chicago Bears. It's boring, boring football right now. But Williams is also getting killed. Now, granted, he holds the ball too long, and that's part of being a rookie quarterback, right? You got to be taught to get rid of the ball. Sometimes throwing the ball away is okay. Don't take a sack. Don't take the hit if nobody's open there. But he's holding the ball forever here. But here's the problem, Mike. Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, San Fran.
They haven't played a division game
Minnesota,
yet.
Detroit,
they have
Seattle,
a division game
Green
yet.
Bay.
They got six division games. They haven't played anyone.
When's their next win coming?
And they're in the, you know, the best division in football this year. If you go by wins and losses, they're in the best one, and they haven't played one division game yet.
I don't know if they win two more games the rest of the season. I mean, Eberflus is done, right? He'll be fired eventually, if not during season, shortly after, on Black Monday, come January, whatever it is. He'll be gone. On McCarthy, Old Bridge with the Jets, maybe Dable with the Giants. They're all going. It's going to be a very busy Black Monday. But Eberflus probably should. I don't understand why when you're going to draft a top quarterback, why did you keep Eberflus? Don't you have to hire a guy you trust to once again raise this quarterback? And Eberflus was never going to be that guy.
It was one of the biggest mistakes, and this is why, and I do this all the time, and George, even you're with me on Tuesdays now, you're probably sick of it. There's just certain franchises that they will never get out of their own way. And the Bears have become one of those teams. They're not on the Jet, Cleveland Brown, Clipper type of level because, you know, they've had past success, but they have now become a team that it don't matter. They will always do the wrong thing. Why they didn't completely start fresh with a whole new coach, staff, everything to be linked with Williams when he was drafted makes absolutely no sense. We've seen this now a bunch of times in the past 10 to 15 years with this, you draft this quarterback, one first overall or even in the top five, and then you're firing the coach a year later, and then you're making your rookie quarterback learn a whole nother new system in his second year in the league. He's already had to absorb so much in his – it ain't easy. Not all Peyton Manning. They don't all come out and just, they're ready to go. And they don't wait anymore either. They've got to play now. And all it does is, it makes it faster before they get tossed away. And I think that's why, George, you now see these guys that are able to hang around and get a second, in some cases, guys, a third shot when they finally get in a supportive system, a good organization, good people around them, you see they can play. Some of those examples are Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. You get them out of the miserable situations they were drafted into, and you get them into good ones, things change. And could that, Caleb Williams is, you can now say it, and it's only 10 games in or whatever. He's been drafted into a miserable situation. Should have never had Eberflus as his coach this year. Never. They've never had that. And now he's gonna he's gonna start fresh with someone else next year. And you don't even know, George, is it? What do you think of him? Have you seen anything from him this year that makes you think, ah, you know, we got it. Same thing happened to Lawrence, right? Lawrence got tied to Urban Meyer. They had to fire Urban Meyer the first year. Peterson comes in. Now we're starting to see, why the hell did you give the guy $275 million? But, I mean, I don't understand what these teams think about, George, when they make these moves. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I'm right there with you. I really don't have anything to add to what you said, because I agree with you 1,000% here. I think it doesn't make any sense. It's why these teams generally are bad year after year after year after year after year, because they don't make the brightest of decisions. And what you said is so true here. When you have the number one pick, you know, or isn't it a top quarterback, you have to make sure you have the right guy to groom him. Right? And we all knew Eberflus was never going to be that. Everybody knew that. He should have been fired last year, because the hard part now is they're going to hire a new head coach, whether it's an offensive or defensive guy. He's going to bring in his own OC, his own quarterback guru. You're going to have a whole new system, which means next year now starts off. He's almost a rookie again. Right? He's almost a rookie again next year. So yep. Now you wait until 2026 till maybe you see the real Caleb Williams. And listen, I give the Bears some credit. They did give him weapons, right? I mean, you went out and you got Keenan Allen. All right, you got DJ Moore. You drafted Adunze here. The offensive line, okay, you can't fix that all in one offseason. It's going to take some time here. But, I mean, if you don't have the right coach, nothing else really matters here. You have to have the right coach, the right system. And and they almost have to start all over from scratch here. I do wonder how the season might have played out if Washington doesn't get the Hail Mary, if that defensive guy whose name I can't remember, who's probably thankful right about now, is not off, yelling at the Commander fans there. It's idiotic. If they win that game, yeah, maybe they don't implode against Arizona and New England. Maybe they do anyway. Maybe this doesn't matter here. And it may not have mattered anyway, Mike, because the rest of that schedule is not going to change, right? Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, San Fran, Minnesota, Detroit, Seattle, Green Bay. Good luck to you. Like I said, you may not win more than two games the rest of the year, no matter what.
Might not. Absolutely amazing what some of these teams do. It really is. You just can't figure it out. All right, we'll come back. Two huge games on Sunday. Ravens Steelers, Bills Chiefs. Talk about those next. Carver Lisi, George and Pedrell. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver Lisi, SportsGrid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you aboard here. Carver Sans Lisi, Joe out on assignment. Of course, George Kurtz in for Joe. As we get ready for NFL Week 11, and we're watching some of the live games going on now. All right, George, we haven't mentioned these two games, and I want to get your thoughts on them. First is this Ravens-Steelers game in Pittsburgh on Sunday. Obviously, Steelers have been great, 7-2 now. Ravens 7-3, two best teams in the AFC North. Ravens are favored here on the road, despite, George, you know, all the numbers really shift in the Steelers' favor here. They've beaten the Ravens 7 of the last 8 times they've played them. The Steelers under Tomlin are 20 wins, 6 losses, 3 ties against the spread as home dogs in the Tomlin era. So you have to factor that in. Always tough at home as a dog. Have you seen enough from Russell Wilson the past couple weeks that you think he could beat Lamar Jackson in Pittsburgh on Sunday?
I have two thoughts here. One, how the hell do the Cowboys beat the Steelers? I mean, that's bewildering to me. Granted, that was
Burrell
before Russell Wilson.
Said the same thing the other day. He goes, how the hell did we lose to this Cowboys?
But that was before Russell Wilson, so let's put that little caveat in there. Russell Wilson, all he's doing right now, Mike, is throwing up lob balls and Pickett is coming down with it. That's what it seems like. He's throwing up those balls and Pickett is going up and get it. You can probably do that against Baltimore, too. Their secondary is not good. All right. This is going to be I think it's going to be a really good game. These teams don't like each other, which I like that. Love Mike Tomlin, by the way. You know, someone asked him about how do you feel about DeAndre Johnson coming back? I don't know. We haven't seen much of him on film. That's a little dig there, Mike. little dig.
Yeah.
You know, Dean's not doing much. Not doing much. Yeah. That was great.
And Harbaugh takes note of that stuff too. You know, he does. He takes note of those
things.
I'm
sure things.
He does. So you
Deontay, you got, anytime you, touchdown.
He might be putting in some plays for Deontay Johnson this week after hearing that from Mike Tomlin. It's hard for me to go away from the Steelers are just, you know, the one, there's one, everybody's got that one team that it's very tough for them to beat. And since Lamar Jackson's been the quarterback in Baltimore, you know, the Steelers have kind of been that team for him. You know, he's had a tough time with Mike Tomlin's defense. He's had a tough time with TJ Watt. He's had a tough time with that crew. And this year, the Steelers actually have some semblance of an offense, which they haven't even had the past few years with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph and all these guys. So, you know, for me, George, it's the Steelers. You know, we were saying on Monday when it was 3.5, you know, that was the time to get it because I think you'll be under 3 by the time we get to Sunday. I really do.
That's why I'm waiting because I think I'm going to take Baltimore. I think Baltimore's the better team. Listen, this will not be a big bet, mind you, at all. This is a what I call a fun bet, you know, just to have fun something bet on the game. I'll probably have more on props, you know, like a Derrick Henry touchdown, of course, maybe the first touchdown for Derrick Henry. Lamar Jackson's rushing yardage prop, I'll certainly have that because I think he's going to be running to get done whatever. It's a big game. I mean, I know it's only week 11, but this is a big game. You know, gives the team the edge in the head-to-head, a little tiebreaker there. So it's a big game. And I think Lamar Jackson will run with a reckless abandon to make sure to extend those drives, get that first down to help them win the game here. I said, small bet, but I'm going to go on Baltimore. I think Baltimore, you know, if Buffalo is healthy, it might be Buffalo. I think right now, as teams are currently constructed right now, I think Baltimore might be the best team. They're not perfect. I don't trust that defense, but Kansas City's barely winning and Buffalo's too banged up. So talk to me in 3 weeks. I might change my mind here. But I'm going to say Baltimore's the best team. They win the game, but close.
Well, Buffalo is banged up at the wide receiver position. There's no doubt about that. And they have Kansas City, who, as we mentioned earlier, continues to find ways every week to win these games. They will go to Buffalo on Sunday. Massive game, two teams with 8 wins in week 11. It's only like the fifth time ever that it's happened. This was 2.5 yesterday. It's 1.5 now for the Bills with the 46.5 total. Now, the Bills have beaten the Chiefs in the regular season the last 3 years, and they've lost to them in the playoffs, of course, 3 of the last 4 years. So the script says, George, the Bills usually win this one and then lose to them. In January, everybody obviously thinking, watching the Chiefs the past few weeks, they're due to lose a game with how close the margins have been. I'm still of the camp. I think the Bills could absolutely beat them on Sunday, George, but as a Bills fan, obviously I want them to win every game that they play, but I won't be throwing any parades if they do beat the Chiefs on Sunday because it's still what matters is they need to find a way to finally beat them in January. And winning this game, though, could eventually be a precursor to that, George, because like last year they beat them, and then they ended up playing them at home in January. Didn't matter, but I'd still rather play the game in Buffalo in January than go to Kansas City again. So that's the biggest thing about this game for them this week.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, once again, another close game. I don't think either team's going to blow out the other here. I want to take Buffalo. All right, I think this is the game that Kansas City finally, you know, those chickens come home to whatever, roost, whatever the hell that stupid saying is here. So I think this is going to be that game. They've been living dangerously for quite a while here, and I think they eat it this week. All right, so I think Buffalo does connect. But before I place any of my money on it, I know Coleman's out. I need to find out about Cooper and Kincaid. If they're both playing, and I like what I hear, which we'll probably know more tomorrow at practice. We'll get those reports here. I'm going to be, I wouldn't say heavy on Buffalo, but I'm going to like Buffalo a whole bunch in this game. I think Kansas City, they've been living on borrowed time. And I think that time comes to an end on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I hope you're right because it is massive. You know, that the one seed's massive now, George. Not only is it home field, but it's you're the team that doesn't get to play that first weekend. And we've already seen that first weekend's nuts. For everyone that now playing with the 3 games on each side, AFC and NFC. So you want to avoid that, and you want to have everyone come to your building. Bills have a chance with their schedule the rest of the way to maybe have that if they could beat the Chiefs coming up here on Sunday. All right, George, we will come back here. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. And we will wrap this puppy up on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Harvard Lincoln Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Here with you on the grid. All right, George. Before we get out of here, let's do a couple of things. Any score in the Islander game yet, George? Are they losing yet? Are they down yet? Are they still scoreless?
Wow. Well, they had a couple of penalty kills. They actually killed them off, so go figure that here. No score, Islanders Oilers after one, so we'll see.
Stunning.
That's it. If the Islanders are up into the third period, boys and girls, bet on Edmonton to come back. The Islanders can't hold a lead to save their lives.
Always. Islanders get up. Any time in the third, going into the third, you bet the other team every single time. All right, let's rip through a few here, George. The big spreads this year have obviously been dicey in the NFL. I think this 13.5 in the Lion game, I think that's the biggest we've had this year, George. I'm trying to remember if we touched 14 at all this year. I'm not sure that we have, but 13.5 for the Lions and the Jags. I ain't scared, George. It's going to be like what they did to Tennessee at home a couple weeks ago. I think it's going to be just like that. They're going to smash them.
Yeah, it's going to be an ass-kicking. It might be Mac Jones at quarterback if Lawrence is done for the rest of the year. No, ass-kicking, Detroit. Best team in the NFL.
Now, the Rams off of that bad loss Monday night, many think, all right, they'll get right. They're playing the Patriots. I'm not so sure, George. That's a tricky spot. They got to fly cross-country, the 1 o'clock East Coast kick. In Foxborough, they're laying 4.5. That seems a little dicey for me. And the Patriots, say what you want about them, they're in a lot of these games and they've won a few of them. So I don't know if I want to mess around with laying 4.5 with the Rams on the road in New England.
I agree. The smells a little bit here. That cross-country trip is rough for a 1 o'clock start. That being said, the Rams have to play better than they did. They just have to. But the short week two here, I'm going to be tempted to take the Patriots and the points here. Right now, I'm leaving it alone. We'll see how the week plays out here. But this may be something I just don't bother betting, don't bother watching. Just move on to another game.
The Niners, of course, got McCaffrey back last Sunday against the Bucs. And listen, the Bucs gave him everything. Again, Baker's played well. Unfortunately, they just haven't been able to win these games. Now the Niners head home, and they'll have Seattle, a team that they traditionally always beat up on at home. -6.5 and a 49.5. I think Seattle stinks, George. And I know they're off a bye. I don't care.
Off a bye, they get DK Metcalf back, but Geno Smith would turn the ball over way too much here. I think McCaffrey comes back to being McCaffrey in this game, right? Gets a big workload here. Scores a touchdown here if you want to go for the anytime score. I'm with you. I don't think it's going to be a massive blowout, but I think they do win the game by a touchdown plus.
The Chargers are playing the Sunday night game. This got flexed in against Cincinnati. Chargers -1.5, 46.5 total. And the Chargers have been winning with a very good run game, a very good defense. Herbert making some timely plays. You know, say what you want about Harbaugh. Wherever he goes, he wins. It's pretty amazing. Bengals need every game they can get right now. Every game.
It's a playoff game. Chargers don't have a great home field advantage here, right? It's a playoff game for the Bengals. You cannot lose this year. Tough loss again versus Baltimore. I'll go back to the well. All right, give me the Bengals. All right, I'll say they're going to win the game, but I don't have a great amount of confidence in it. Probably going to go the over as well. They're not going to win they're not going to win a 17-14 game. So there's points going to be scored here on both sides here. Give me the Bengals and the over.
Well, especially because also the Bengal defense is a disgrace. So even a team that sometimes can look a little offensively challenged like the Chargers can, especially with their passing game, I mean, I think they'll even be able to run it, George. Like, I think with Dobbins and they got Edwards back this week, like, I think they'll even be able to run it all over Cincinnati if need be. So, yes, points could be very much in order for that game. You have any interest in the Colts and the Jets on Sunday afternoon at MetLife? You guys said you had none, right? You have no interest.
Not really here. Maybe the Jets will have some life here, but no.
You can't have it. How about with the Raiders and the Dolphins? Dolphins are 7.5 after the win on Monday night against the Raiders.
I mean, they're coming home here. Raiders are a bad team here. Raiders, I'm going to go. Boy, listen, I'd rather just tease this game, take the Dolphins minus 1.5 and find someone else here. I'm not going to feel comfortable going either way here. I think the Raiders are done, too. That's another team that's imploding. Bad team, bad organization here. They should be able to cover 7.5, but I'm not going to trust them to do it.
Yeah, 7.5 is tricky. Raiders, of course, coming off the bye as well. George, tremendous job, as always. Great job by Matthias Burbell. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Cash some tickets. Have a great night. We'll see you later this week on the grid.